I have a portion of scripture here that I want to read in St. John, the first chapter, beginning at the 33rd verse. John says, we might read the 32nd verse. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit of God descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, Jesus. And I knew him not, because he hadn't met him yet. I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize in water, that's God the Father, he that sent me to baptize in water, the same said unto me, said John, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit of God descending and remaining upon him, the same is he which shall baptize with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and I bear record that this is the Son of God. Now, I want to speak just a few things that the Spirit has laid upon my heart to tell you. John was the greatest man that has ever born of woman. Jesus said it. How many have read that? Well, it's there in the Bible. Jesus said, of all the men that has ever born of woman, John the Baptist was the greatest that has ever born of woman. He was baptized with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. He came into the world a man sent from God with one commission to be a forerunner of the Son of God. And when he preached, as you read here in the first chapter, every day he preached for many, many months, every day that John preached, he had one message. I baptize you with water under repentance, but there's coming one after me. He's mightier than I. I must decrease, but he must increase. He's mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And the next day the multitudes would come from far and near, and John would say, I baptize you with water. He let them come down. He grabbed a hold of them. He took them down in the water. He brought them up out of the water. They shook their head, wiped the water out of their face, and walked out on the bank. They said, it's been done. I have been baptized in water. Now, he said, I am baptized in water. The multitude that's waiting, that's lined up, they'll be coming. And I'm baptized in water. But there is coming one after me as sure and as real as I take hold of you and carry you down into the water, and I bring you up out of water, I baptize you in water. As same as I carry this out literally, it is a real positive thing that actually happens to you. The other one that's coming, when he arrives, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Who is the Holy Ghost? Anywhere you read in the Bible is very clear. It calls it Holy Spirit and Holy Ghost. So what's the difference? None. None. Just like a skunk and a civet cat. They're both the same. Arkansas, they call them one thing. Here they call them something else. God's Bible calls the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Ghost. But he does say that the Holy Ghost is a person as much as Jehovah God is a person. He has feelings, and he can be grieved. He can come in with super intelligence, and you can be dumb as all outdoors. And brother, the Holy Ghost can anoint you with knowledge and wisdom, and can give you words that all of your adversaries will not be able to gainsay or resist, because Jesus said it's not you that talk but the Holy Ghost. Now, the Holy Ghost is super intelligent. He can speak through your lips a language that you never spoke in all your life and speak it fluently. Now, that's a miracle of miracles. If you tried to repeat it, you couldn't do it. But when you don't know one word of a language like Chinese or Japanese or Greek or we would say Italian or German, but for the Holy Ghost to come in and speak through your lips, brother, he's got to be intelligent. Now, God says the Holy Ghost is the third person, separate from Jesus, absolutely separate from God the Father. You can blaspheme God, say all manner of evil against him, cuss him out and all that, come and repent and God will forgive you. You can blaspheme Christ, say all manner of evil against Jesus, because he is the Son of God. But Jesus said, don't do that to the Holy Spirit, because he's a person. He is one that will never defend himself. He doesn't take no part in judgment. And when he comes in, don't grieve him. And don't say one word against him, and don't blaspheme it. If you do, and you're successful in blaspheming it, there is no way God can forgive you if he wanted to. There is no way I can forgive you. You are eternally and everlastingly lost. Why? Because no man can come to God except the Spirit of God draw him. The blessed Holy Spirit is that drawing power. He is a person. He dealt with me and introduced himself before I knew much about Jesus or God the Father or anything. But he made me to know that I was a lost sinner, that I needed Christ, and the Holy Ghost conviction gripped me. And brother, he drew me down to the altar and he gave me an experience of a new birth. Spiritual birth. Christ saved me on the cross. But the operation of the Holy Spirit, he put me in the body by a new birth. I was born again. When that happened, I was a new creature. And any time that doesn't happen, you're not saved. When you're saved, you become a new creature. How many believe that? Because you can't be born again. Nobody. You can't be born again without being a new creature. And you can't be a new creature and say, I haven't been born again yet. When you are born again, you have become a new creature right then. That takes place by the Holy Spirit, by one Spirit. We are baptized into the body of Christ. When I was out of the body of Christ, I was lost, away from God. But when I came into the body of Christ, in Christ, I was a Christian. How did I get in Christ? I was put in there by new birth. Who is the one that takes part in the new birth? It's the Spirit. We call it a spiritual birth, being born again. Now, but what does Jesus do? He does exactly what John said. He is going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Now, the Holy Ghost is a person. He's more than just a person. He is a member of the Godhead. He has been everlasting and eternal with God the Father and God the Son. And when God got ready to move upon this earth, when it was without form and void and darkness was upon the face of the deep, there wasn't a blade of grass, there wasn't one moving thing. There was nothing alive. It is dead as the moon. There was no grass, no trees, no birds, no animals. There's no life nowhere. And it said it was without form and void and water covered over the face of the deep and in black darkness. And God gave the command. And when God got ready to make a brand new setup, he turned it over to the Holy Ghost. Now listen to what it said. Read it in your Bible. In Genesis 1, it says when God said, let there be. And it said when God said it, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep and pushed back the water and pushed back the darkness and commanded the dry land to appear And one by one, the sun appeared, the moon appeared, the brooks appeared, the vegetation appeared, the trees appeared, and all animals appeared. And when God got through, it was the Spirit of God moving upon the dead state of the world. Brother, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were alienated from God. But the same Holy Spirit moves upon us that were dead. How many remember that experience you had on the other side when you was dead? But oh, hallelujah, all at once, you're converted. You're born again. And there's just something happens when you're born again. You're passed from death unto life. Out of that darkness into the marvelous light. Now that's salvation. But it's not the Holy Ghost. Now, you might say, but now, when I got saved, I got the Holy Ghost. Well, that's good if you really did get the Holy Ghost. You can get it at the same coming at the altar. But when you do, you are saved first. Now I'll show you. All the disciples, the mother of Jesus, and all the followers, they were not only saved, they had power over sickness. They had power with demons. They had power over afflictions. And they had followed the Lord. They had praised the Lord. They knew God. They were converted, and they were saved as much as the angels in heaven. But Jesus tells them that they must not leave Jerusalem, but they must wait until a certain thing takes place. He said, I'm going to go to heaven, and when I go there, I am going to pray the Father that he will give you something you've never had before. Now, he said, the Holy Ghost is with you now. He's with you, John. He's with Peter. He's with James. He's with all of you, but only with you. He is not in any of you. But when I go to the Father and pray the Father, that he'll give you another comforter. Now, how many believe that Jesus certainly knew, as a former knows his forming, and an electrical man knows his radio or his electricity, and a medical man knows all about the human body. When it come to Jesus Christ, brother, he knew all about the spiritual working of the devil, the spiritual working of God. He knew the necessity. He knew the need of the church. How many believe there's nobody that topped him? He was tops in everything he said and everything he did. He was never defeated by anybody or anything. And may I say this, he wasn't afraid of anything or anybody. He said, the first thing I did is tore out after the devil, grabbed him, and when I got through with him, I said, kick. I said, kick. Well, okay, now you can't kick, so I got you. And he said that he came, and he said, the reason I cast out devils is because there was a strong man. Nobody could approach him, and everybody was afraid of him. And Jesus said, I went, and there was a strong man that kept his palace. And his goods were safekeeping. But he said, I went in and I, a stronger than he, a stronger than the devil, went in and conquered him. And then took all of his armor away that he trusted in. And left him without anything to fight with. I deprived him of his power. And then when I got through, I came out. Not only do I say, out, and the devil comes out. They said he does it by Beelzebub. He said, oh no, devil don't fight against devil. They don't destroy their own kingdom. He said, when I said to Peter, go out and cast out devils, I give you power. When I said to 70, go out and do it, you had power. Why? Because he was the strong man that attacked the strong man. He was stronger. And when he spoiled his goods, that means that any devil, I don't care how big he gets, you may be little and short, and kind of wrinkled up, shriveled up. And the devil might come and say to you, who do you think you are? Like a brother said to me one time, he was just kind of casually saying, you know, he knew a fella had a devil, and said, come out of him. And the devil answered back through the man's mouth and said, who do you think you are to speak to me like that? And when he did, this child of God had the Holy Ghost in him. And like a flash, that little dried up fella said, in the mighty name of Jesus, I'm a son of God. I command you to come out. And when he said that, brother, that devil screamed and came out. And the man got up and shouted and praised God. It wasn't the size of the man. It is the size of the Spirit that dwelt in the man. Jesus, the first thing he said just before he went to heaven, he said, I'm going back to glory, but these signs are going to follow from here to the end. In my name they shall cast out devils. Devil casting out is not going to stop when I go to heaven. But he said, now look, boys, when I leave, I don't want one of you to run out. Don't try to go out there and start doing it. He said, go in Jerusalem and wait. What for, Lord? We're saved? Yep. We're born again. We're saved. We're ready for heaven? Yep. Sins are forgiven, Lord? Yep. We love you, Lord? Yep. We get happy now and then? Yep, that's right. But you haven't got the Holy Ghost. He said, tarry. What for, Lord? Until you be endued with power from on high. See, I've got the power, not that power. He said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. The power that God's talking about is a power that only comes when the Holy Ghost comes in. You may pray and you may fast. And you may have ever so much of an experience with God. And through your praying and fasting, you may have a tremendous amount of faith in God. And through your faith, many things can be accomplished. Because if thou canst believe, he didn't say if thou canst believe if you have the Holy Ghost. He said if thou canst believe, all things are possible. Brother, I'm going to tell you, ever since I've known the time, there's people that has been born again with faith, outstanding faith. And brother, there were signs that followed their ministry. They were outstanding things that they believed God for. But there was a power that comes from God. And the devil recognizes the difference in your ability to just have faith and the presence of a third member of the Godhead who gives you an endowment of power from on high, brother. When you have that power in you, he is aware of it. And Jesus, knowing that, saw the necessity of his followers being equipped with the best weapon God has in heaven. Let me ask you the difference. Take a Christian here. Put him over here. Saved and born again, and the blood's applied. They're born again. They're a child of God, son of God, member of the kingdom of God, but they don't have the Holy Ghost. Here's one over here, born again, saved. They're a member of the kingdom of God, and they're a son of God, and they're also baptized with the Holy Ghost, the third member of the Godhead. What's the difference in the two? What's the difference in the two? Is one saved a little bit more than this one is saved? If so be, it's the Holy Ghost that does the saving. But nobody can show me a scripture where this one that has the Holy Ghost is saved 1/1,000,000. 1 bit in any way is this one here saved more with the Holy Ghost than this one without the Holy Ghost. You take your Bible and you can prove it to me. I'd sure like to see it. When you're saved by the blood of Christ, you're a son of God, you're a child of God, you are a child of God. You have access to heaven. But now, is that enough? If Jesus said that's enough, that's all right. But brother, that's good. But as soon as you can, here's what happens. There was a fellow by the name of Apollos. He had salvation, born again, a son of God. He didn't have the Holy Ghost. He was fervent in the Spirit. He was red hot. He could say amen. He could preach. He could run across the platform. He was mighty in the scriptures, knowing only the baptism of John. He knew the baptism of John. But he didn't know the baptism of one I talked about in my text. He that comes and will see the Holy Ghost come on him, he it is that baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. Who's the Holy Ghost for? John said, I baptize with water, but he'll baptize you. He talked to thousands every day. He didn't say it's for the 12, wherever they are. He didn't say it's for the 120 or a few extra special ones. He said it's for you. It's for everyone. Apollos came. The Bible says in Acts that he was fervent in the Spirit. I believe that. And he was mighty in the Scripture. And he was very active for God. But when he came, knowing only the baptism of John, the good old saint under Paul's ministry, Priscilla and Aquila, they saw that he only knew the baptism of John, and he wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit. They went to him, and they said, "Brother Apollos, oh yes, sister, what is it? We want to tell you about the experience that we have. You know what Jesus said about John? You remember what John said? He baptized one but the other about the Holy Ghost? Yeah, I've heard about that. Well, we have received it. You have a little time?" He said, "Yeah." They sit down. And the Bible says there, you can read it. It said they sit down and expounded unto him the plan of salvation. Oh, no. He said, "I'm running 90 miles an hour. I'm saved on the way to heaven. I'm a child of God. I'm born again. I'm ready for glory." And that was true. They expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Now, I'm like this. If I'm going in for anything, lock, stock, and barrel, live, die, sink, or swim, and all, brother, I'm not going to hold out any stops. I'm going to pull out all the stops. I'm going to let her go. And the very fact that it said expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly, we see the results. When they got through, they prayed him through, and he got the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues and glorified God. He got the baptism that they had got, the baptism that comes from Jesus with the Holy Ghost. Now, what was it? The way of God, what? More perfectly. I want to show you, here's the other crowd. I'm talking about these two bunches, one here and one here. When Paul went up to the coast of Ephesus, he found certain brethren that were on fire for God. They loved God, knowing only the baptism of John. Paul went in to this bunch that was saved, born again, child of God, sons of God. And he said to them, he said, "Brethren, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" When you believe, come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord or believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're saved. Said to Paul, "Paul, what must do to be saved?" Said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be saved and your house." Just believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he said, since you believed, you have believed in Christ, you have accepted Christ, and you've been baptized under John, under repentance, have you received the Holy Ghost since then? Now, if it is like a lot of preachers today, they could say, "Well, now, they are Christians, they love God, they're sincere. There's no use in bothering them." Paul wasn't bothering them. He was afraid that somebody else was going to bother them if he didn't get the power of God in their life. Brother, how many believe there's a devil today we've got to confront with? There are the forces and the powers of the devil. Now, he said, they said, "Why, we don't even know whether the Holy Ghost has yet been given. We know what John said. John said the one coming after him would baptize the Holy Ghost, but we don't know whether it's even been given." He said, "It has, and I have it." Now, he said, "If you line up, I'll pray for you, and God will fill you with the Holy Ghost, because the promise to you, oh, yeah, we know it's for us whenever it comes, but we didn't know it is here yet." Well, said it is. Now, Paul laid his hands on them, and as he laid his hands on them, they spoke in tongues and magnified God. Now, from then on, they come back and say, "Brethren, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe?" Glory to God, sure have. All right. You could say to this bunch here, "Do you have the river of living water flowing inside?" Said, "Yep." "Show me scripture for it." "Well, I'm happy." Well, you get saved and shouting happy, you can do it. But you can never say you have the river inside until you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Why? Because Jesus plainly said you'll never have the river until you're baptized with the Holy Ghost. That's what he said. I'll read it to you right here in the Bible. So we find that when he got through them, from then on they could say, now, we can say we have the Holy Ghost. We've taken one step further. Paul didn't let them alone. Paul said, what you need is the Holy Ghost. Now, if the early church felt that way about it, how many believe we can make a mistake today if we don't feel that way about it? We should do our best to get people. Don't say you don't have anything. Say, brother, you've got it, but what we need is everything you can get more. Now, we find that when Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ, he cast out devils everywhere, laid his hands on the sick, and all of them got healed. And then he carried them down after they accepted Jesus and was born again and become sons of God, and they were happy, and he baptized them in water, and then it said there wasn't joy in the city. There was great joy in the city, for the city of Samaria turned to Christ and believed on him, and great joy was in the city. Here they are, saved and born again and sons of God, wrapped up, and thank God, got marked heaven bound. And they were going to heaven. Every one of them. No one could say they're not saved and born again. But did they have the Holy Ghost? Oh, well, maybe some of them did when they got saved. Oh, let me see what the preacher said. 8th chapter of Acts. Philip said that the city of Samaria believed in Christ, had devils cast out, sick bodies healed, and they've been baptized in water. But he said not a one of them has received the Holy Ghost. You ever read that in the Bible? Read the 8th chapter of Acts. That's what it says. Said, now, boys, he said, ladies and gentlemen, you've got a glorious experience coming to you. You're saved. You don't have to get saved any more than you are. You're saved. But there is a necessity of an enduing of power so you can advance on the forts of hell, cast out devils, raise the dead, cleanse the leper. You can have power with God to be able to discern the wickedness of the devil. Bind through prevailing prayer. The Holy Ghost can assist you and help you. It doesn't save you. It comes to give you power from another world. And it said, we're going to send down and get Peter and John to come down and pray for you, that you might receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You could have said, Philip. Philip, why do you do that? Don't you know that the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost was for just the 12? No, he didn't know it. None of the other disciples knew it. I don't know it, and I don't know where in the world they may find it in the Bible. But there's some today who will tell you it's only for the 12. And then some say it was just for the 120. That's all. But the book didn't say that. He said the whole city of Samaria is saved, born again, shouting happy, but they haven't got something that I've got. And I know that all the apostles believe they ought to have it, and they'll be better Christians, and God can use them in a greater way. And it comes from God and not the devil. It makes them better and not worse. It gives them power to pray and praise God and get the job done. The anointing comes in greater forces. So, send down and get them. So when they sent down and got Peter and John, they came down. Brother, those two giants came in and they said, Philip, what you want us to come down for? You sent us to come down. He said, the whole city of Samaria has accepted Christ. They're born again, saved, filled with the Spirit. Devils cast out, baptized in water, the sick are healed. And said, but there's not a one of them got the Holy Ghost. If it's like some that would like to preach to you today, this is what Peter and John would have done. They'd have said, now, Philip, you're a young evangelist and you're a little overzealous. And, son, you don't quite understand. You see, Peter and John says, Peter and I, we are pillars in the church. We understand. And you came down here and got all excited and preached Christ. But don't you know, son, that these folk, they already have the Holy Ghost.
Because when they get born again, they get the Holy Ghost. Is that what John said? But isn't that what a lot of them today would tell you? Yeah. But that's not what the book says. That's not the doctrine of the early church. And he says, I left you there that they and tell them to teach them that they teach no other doctrine. But you know what they said? They said, all right, they're saved, but they don't have the Holy Ghost. Said, let's have a prayer meeting. Let's get down and pray. And they got down and prayed. You know what they prayed? They said, oh God, we got a crowd coming in tonight, and they're going to line up, and they want the Holy Ghost. And now, Lord, we want you to anoint us as we stretch forth our hand. I want you, because it's you that baptizes. John said, he is the one, the Son of God. He's the one baptizing the Holy Ghost. Anytime you get the Holy Ghost, remember, the one on the other end of the line is Jesus. God the Father can't do that, neither can the Holy Ghost. It takes Jesus to fill you with the Holy Ghost. And any time the Lord is up there and you are a child of God already bought, you belong to Him. You're holy because you belong to God. You raise your hand to your Savior, you're kept with the power of God. And brother, you say, well, I'm afraid if I open up and begin to praise, the devil might come in. I'm going to tell you now, wouldn't that be the day a child of God that belongs in the kingdom of God and in the kingdom of God and have God's seal on them, nevertheless foundation of God stand assured, having His seal, having His seal. But you're not God's if you don't have a seal. But when God saves you, you belong to God, you're the property of God, and the devil's not about to touch you. You're honest note before God. I'll tell you what about this Holy Spirit. When Betty Baxter got healed, and I won't hold you too much longer, but this is good, I'm telling you. Betty Baxter, when she got the Holy Ghost, Betty Baxter, when she got healed, the greatest miracle, I believe, since the days of Christ, Betty Baxter. I don't have to tell you all about what condition she's in. Hopelessly crippled. All the Mayo Clinic gave her up. No chance in a million for her to ever be healed. Paralyzed. Every vertebra out of place. Twisted over, head down between her legs. Going into comas. Wasted away just like a little old few pounds left. Racing high fever. No way on earth could live. Female organs out of place. Heart completely out of its place. Gasping for breath. She believed God with her mother. Her mother was a sainted woman and said, Betty, if we'll believe God and hold to God's promise, he said, where two on earth are agreed, as in touching anything they shall ask. Though the doctors laugh that God could ever heal anybody like you, I believe that God can make you perfectly whole. And if you are one and I'm one, God said, if two on earth shall be agreed. And that God-fearing mother held with that girl for 2 or 3 years, believing every day that God some way would answer their prayer. And one day God spoke to her in the dining room when she's eating and said, I'm going to heal her, your daughter, Betty. I'm going to heal her August the 12th at 2 o'clock Sunday afternoon. I'll come and I'll heal her and make her perfectly whole. She went in and wanted to ask Betty. Betty said, Mother, do you know when I'm going to get healed? Her mother did. She said, Betty, do you know? She said, Mama, do you know? Mother figured, well, God's told her to. She said, Betty, you're going to be healed August 12th, Sunday afternoon, 2 o'clock. She smiled. She said, Jesus told me, but he told me not to tell anybody. I figured he'd told you, Mama. Said, now it's going to be Sunday afternoon, 2 o'clock on August 12th. Several months away. When that day came, Preacher Shane went out of town, and the daddy still didn't believe. He's sitting there just frying. Boy, tell you, run out of his ears. He's so mad. And a few neighbors had gathered in. 2 or 3 of the neighbors around had come, and the mother was over there believing God, and the daddy was standing over there. And at 5 after 2, Betty said, Mama, what time is it? Said, it's 2:05. 5 minutes, he's coming. And you know what happened? Right at 2:10, there was a wind that blew. They felt a breeze whip through the room. the doors rattled. And they looked over at that side of the house, on that side of the room, and there formed a cloud. And while the dad looked, and while the mother looked, and while the neighbors looked, and while the little brother was there and he looked, Betty knew something was happening. She could feel the breeze blowing. And the mother, the way she was reacting, and said, "The cloud formed." And they watched, and a 6 foot tall fellow stepped out with three colored robes, a beautiful long flowing robe, and walked over majestically to this girl sitting there that had been given up by the greatest men on earth in medical science. And he said, "Betty, you have been faithful and you have believed me, but I have come, as I said, to make you whole." And then the Son of God knelt while the daddy watched and the mother watched, and he took his hand and reached under, because her head was twisted down underneath her legs because she couldn't straighten up. Every vertebra in her back was twisted, one this way and one that way, like this, all the way through. And Jesus reached underneath and said, "Betty, I'm going to heal you inside." And he touched her. And when he did, the hand of God's Son touched her. A hot flash went through her, and the heart that was enlarged and uneven went into place perfectly and began to thump perfectly. Her female organs jerked into place. Every part of her inner being was made whole. And oh, she breathed for the first time, though twisted over yet by the vertebras and by the deformity. He had made her whole inside. She said, "Jesus, you won't leave me like this." And Jesus stepped around while the boy looked, and while the daddy was bawling and squalling, and while the mama and the neighbors looked, he went around back of her and took the top of her head, and he touched the first vertebra. There was a loud pop, and the vertebra went into place. He moved his hand down. There was another pop, 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 pop. Every vertebra went into place. She lifted her head from under her knees. She sprang to her feet. She began to shout. And her mother, on the other side of the room, she looked at her mother. Never in her life had she ever heard her speak in tongues. And her mother received the baptism of the Holy Ghost while Jesus was operating on the daughter. The Holy Ghost filled the mother, and she was speaking in other tongues. Brother, if that was the devil, like a lot of folks say today, that's so rotten, filled with unbelief and laziness, they don't want to receive it. They don't act as some that do, and they're open and they're yielded. But brother, let me tell you, the devil wasn't about to come within 10 blocks of that place. She was filled with the Holy Ghost. Betty Baxter has the greatest testimony today since Christ. And she is baptized with the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues, and the rivers of living water flow. I'm closing now as I read my text. I always like to read it on the tail end. Everybody still here, say amen. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." I'm asking everyone here in this audience to answer this question. I'm not saying what you had 8 months ago, what you received 10 years ago. I'm asking you, do you have the rivers of living water flowing out of the innermost part of your being? Who is it for? Who is this for? Notice. He that believeth on me. How many believe on him tonight? Who's the Holy Ghost for? It's a promise of the Father. The disciples on the day of Pentecost said, "You know what this is?" There's 120 of them shouting, speaking in tongues. Some of them said, "They're drunk! They're drunk!" Peter said, "They're not drunk. This is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. It's not like that which he spoke of. It is." Joel said, "It'll come to pass, it'll pour out in spirit on
all flesh.
How many?
On all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. And here Jesus said, not for the 120, not to 12, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. Thus spake he of the Holy Ghost, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Christ was not yet glorified. What is the river of living water? Rivers that flow inside? Thus spake he. What is the river? It is the Holy Ghost. Not salvation. You've got to be saved before you ever receive it. God never filled anybody. The Bible said the world cannot have it. The unregenerate never has or never will receive the Holy Ghost. You've got to give your heart to Jesus first. You've got to be born again, Son of God. It's for those that have been fervently in the Spirit. They worship God. It was great joy in the city of Samaria. They did not have the river. Why? The river is the Holy Ghost. He didn't say, now it's salvation and it's like the Holy Ghost. He said, no, the river is the Holy Ghost. Thus spake he of the Holy Ghost, which they that believe on him should receive. They haven't got it yet. There's not a one of them got the baptism he said yet. They should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given. Then when Jesus rose from the grave, he appeared to him. He says, now I don't want you to leave. I want you to not depart, but go and wait in the upper room. Stay there until you be endued with power from on high. And I'm going to send you the promise of my Father. The promise of the Father is the Holy Ghost. And he said, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost not many days hence. You know what the Holy Ghost is? It's a gift. You don't merit it. You don't merit a gift. Jesus said, I'm going to pray and he's going to give you a gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, what I'm saying tonight is this. Did Jesus lie when he said, there will be something in here that comes up and flows out, and it's called rivers of living water? And it's rivers. And he said, it's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will make you praise God more than you ever praised him when you were just saved. You believe that? The Holy Ghost will anoint you to have faith and believe God for things that you was never able. Why? Because the Holy Ghost comes in. He is the giver of every gift. Unto one is given by the Holy Ghost the gift of tongues, the gift of interpretation of tongues, the gift of miracles, the gift of healing. God has put in the church these gifts. And brother, if God had some weapon that we can use against the devil today, what do you think about all of our boys going over and fighting Russia? And Uncle Sam only giving them just rifles, that's all. No tanks, no airplanes, no bombs, no atomic threat to them at all, but pull back. And that's what they're saying today. No power, no Holy Ghost, no healing, no miracles, but thank God the signs will follow this gospel of the kingdom. He said it shall be preached to the end of the world for a witness unto all nations, then the end shall come. These signs follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, speak with new tongues, lay hands on the sick. What'll happen? They'll recover. What do we need today? The city of Dallas needs a spiritual awakening. What do we have to do? Preach on the Holy Ghost? Say, needs a spiritual awakening. What do you have to do? Have some kind of a program in the Sunday school and get a lot of folk come in? You might get 100,000 of them to come in. But brother, unless God gets a hold of them and gives them an experience, what have you got? When the Lord comes, you've got to turn them down. Having to believe, you've got to be qualified. You just don't join a church. Brother, the whole thing is you've got to receive an experience. Can you get to heaven without being born again? I say no. Nobody's going to do it unless you die under the age of accountability. You've got to be born again to get to heaven. Then, can you, if you receive the Holy Spirit, that gives you the endowment of power. But you've got to have that. And it's not just preaching those things. I'd say this.
You could preach all these things that I'm mentioning. There's preachers preaching about them. But if you let the congregations that hear it come to the altar and say, "Now, Lord, I'm asking myself the question. I'm not saying, did I ever speak in tongues? Did I ever receive the Holy Ghost back there? Washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost." The Bible said there's a renewing of it. How many believe that? And then, does God at any time tell you to be half full of the Holy Ghost? Every place you will find in the Bible, it said Peter stood up being filled with the Holy Ghost. Barnabas was a good man, full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. All through, intermingled dozens and dozens of times, he uses the word filled. And it said there in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, be not drunk on wine wherein is excess. Don't come in the church with a bottle of hoop in your hip pocket. Come down the aisle and, you know, how are you, sister? Sitting down and someone says, oh, Lord, there's John coming in here drunk. Oh, isn't that terrible? He says, be not drunk on wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, not salvation. Holy Ghost, not salvation. It's the enduing of power. It is the river of living water. It's the thing that stirs the devil up. Brother, it's the rivers of living water that pulls you to a sinner and gives you grace to talk to them and try to win them for God. When you get down by their side, brother, you're not yawning in their face or trying to just shake them. You are able to kneel by them, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, with the rivers of living water coming up, you have power to lay your hands upon them and pray with them and pray them through. How many believe that? You see a person that's sick, you go to him with the rivers of living water. You say, what are all those rivers? More than one. Out of your belly shall flow rivers, plural. Rivers of love. Love of God is shed abroad by the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something. You can do your best to love, but you'll find yourself saying, well, I love them. Got to love them to get to heaven. But if it wasn't for the Holy Ghost, I'd crack their head with my heel of my shoe. You don't love them, you hate them. And don't kid yourself. There's only one thing that'll give you power to love the unlovable and to have a love in your heart. And brother, it takes a lot of times more than just being born again. It takes the power of God in your life. There's, I say you can pray, stay close to God, and by faith, a lot of you may love, and you may do that. But I found out when I got the Holy Ghost, I'd been saved, shouting, happy, brother. I'd been witnessing, testifying. But I told a woman, don't you ever speak to me, keep your mouth shut. And if you ever see me on the street, forget I live. Don't you ever speak to me. And I was shouting, happy and saved for a whole week. And I hadn't done a thing well about it. And I was trying to get the Holy Ghost. God said to me, will you go and tell Laura you love her? I was trying to get the Holy Ghost. God said, if you want my Holy Ghost, you're going to go and do some things. I said, Lord, I'll go tell Laura, but give me the Holy Ghost. He did. He filled me, and I spoke in tongues. The glory of God came, and I've had it ever since. I've had it ever since. I have a river. It keeps me posted on what God wants me to do. I don't have to go to a fortune teller to know God's will. We have an unction from the Holy One, and we know all things. Love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us both now and forever. Never can you have such communication with God and know God's will and walk in God's will and be successful for God's will as when you, like Apollos, have the Holy Spirit preach to you and expounded in a more perfect way, then yield and let God fill you with the Holy Ghost. And brother, when the rivers begin to flow, I was insulted, I'm through now, I'm quit. I'm through. But when they tried to get me filled with the Holy Ghost, I said, I'm full of it. I said, where could God put any of it? I was praying in the altar. I was going to the street corner. Yeah.
And I was witnessing for people. I was telling my neighbors about Jesus. And I was full. I was fervent in the spirit. But they said, oh, brother, you haven't got the Holy Ghost yet. I said, well, where would he put it? I said, I'm full now. I said, man, I'm running over. But when I got the Holy Ghost and the rivers start flowing, I thought, well, I never have had that. That's all right. I'd like to keep that. And I have. I fell in such love with it for 50 some odd years. I've kept it. And it's there right now. Bow your head in a word of prayer. Bow your head. That's right. While our head is bowed, I'm asking you a question. Do you have the rivers of living water that Jesus said, they that believe on me, as the scripture said, out of their belly will flow rivers of living water. Thus spake he of the Holy Ghost, which they that believe on him. I take it for granted that everybody in this building believes on Jesus. Which they that believe on him should receive. He didn't say just know about it, said you'll receive it. And when you receive it, you'll know it. Everyone that was filled with the Holy Spirit in the early church, they knew it. Peter said, we know they've received the Holy Ghost. We heard them speak in tongues and magnify God. No matter how much we have, we can be used in a greater way. I'm asking young people in this audience tonight, how many believe we'd have a revival that would shake the city if just every young person in the Gospel Lighthouse would say, Lord, I'm determined to not just believe in the Holy Ghost, but to let it flow as rivers of living water. Brother, that's what the world is wanting to see. I preach the message God laid on my heart. I'm not asking you how many years you've been in Pentecost. I'm not asking you how many times you prayed for others and they got their healing. I'm not asking how much you love the Lord. I'm asking you, do you have the rivers of living water flowing from your innermost being? I want everyone in the building to stand in reverence to God. Praise God. I want your eyes closed, everyone, just for a moment. Close your eyes. I want to see the hands of those that are honest. You'll say, Brother Hibbert, I have received the Holy Spirit. I have no sin in my life. I've confessed it. Any sin I've committed, I've confessed it. My life is in harmony with God. And I have now the flowing of those rivers from my innermost being. I have it tonight. I came to church with it. I have that experience right now with eyes closed. I want you to be honest. Put your hand up high all over the building. God bless you. I see them everywhere. There's a great number. You have that river compels you to want to see others. Have that river start flowing. I'm asking you, if you cannot raise your hand, it's for you. He wants you to have it. You're fighting a battle for God. You need it. While they sing or play in the background, there is a river. I'm going to ask just for a few minutes. In the balcony, any young person, any husband or any wife, any man or woman, you want to come up here? I don't care if you had the Holy Ghost a month ago, but something happened. You don't have it now. Something's happened. You don't have that experience. You need a refilling. Washing of regeneration and renewing. You can't say you're filled with the Spirit, but you do want it. Now, the reason I say that, I'm emphasizing that. There may be people here tonight, you do not have it, you're far from it, but you're not ready. There's a lot of things that you just about not to pay the price. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you're receiving something worth more than this whole wide world if it is given to you on a silver platter. It's worth $100 billion would be nothing compared to the gift of the Holy Ghost. If this world was offered to me on a golden platter and I knew it was mine, to go back and have salvation that I had, and I knew I'd be saved. But I wouldn't have the Holy Ghost and the rivers. I'd turn it down immediately and say, no, there's no bargain there. I'd rather have the Holy Ghost. How many appreciate the Holy Ghost just like I explained it, and that's the way you feel about it? Put your hand up. I'm going to ask this for the ones that are hungry, for the ones that want God to put that river flowing in your heart. I want you to come to the front, and I want you to come up those steps, and I want you to come by Brother Hibbert here, and I'm going to lay my hand on you. And as I lay my hand on you, I want you to go right around in the prayer room and kneel and start thanking God. God wants you filled with it more than you want to have it. And it's a promise to you and your children, to them that are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. And John said when he told me to baptize in water, he said when he comes, you'll see the Spirit, and he it is that will baptize with the Holy Ghost. That's what I'm asking tonight. Those anywhere in the building, come up this way and come up on the platform. And come across, and we'll go in the building just for a few minutes. I want you to start moving anywhere in the building. If you want a refilling, you want that river of living water, I want you to come to the front and come around on this side. And as we go through, I'll be glad to pray with you and ask God to do it. I'm waiting. If you do not feel like coming, and you do not, you're not ready to let God give you that river of living water, stay back. But if I was in your place and I didn't have it, and I found myself nonchalant and unconcerned about it, that's the thing I'd want to bring to the altar and let God declare war on. How many believe if ever there was a time we need to be alerted and equipped and ready and shining and filled with flowing on the inside? It's right now. I'm waiting because God's going to move upon people here tonight. God gave me this message. I want everyone that's filled with the Holy Ghost, and you have it. You're not going to sit back there like, you know, just nonchalant. We are working for God. When I place my hand upon these people, I want someone that has the Holy Ghost to go right back and assist them. And they can sit on a chair and just praise God. That's all I got to do. Man don't fill you, it's God. But we lay hands, the disciples laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Maybe a few minutes later, but they received it. And as I pray for them, they'll go back in the back and praise God. Again, let's all together, everyone in this building, raise your hand and ask God to fill these folk with the Holy Ghost. Father, we thank you for the Holy Ghost that's here tonight. And we thank you that you, Jesus, you're the one that fills with the Holy Ghost. And we believe it. We pray tonight, Lord, it'll come just like you said. Nothing added, nothing taken away. It'll come in rivers, rivers of living water coming out of our innermost being. Okohorusaka Ebrona Ebrusaha Yakaha Rudarasaha. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Everyone in the spirit of worship, as I lay my hand on them one by one, and others feel like stepping out, I want you to obey God and come and let that river flow. Praise God.